See if you smoke marijuana in the room. It get in your clothes.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, that's the way the apostolic is.
Yes, sir. That's right.
It's possible to get drunk.
Yes, Lord.
Or get high.
Yeah.
Right in the midst.
Right in the midst, yes, sir.
Well, the Holy Spirit going to help us. We're going to go right into it because we have a lot of material to cover tonight.
Yes, sir.
So we are in chapter 1, which talks about revival, a divine attack on society. And we were talking about 7 revivals of the Old Testament. So we're going to pick up right where we left off so we can go into chapter 2, which talks about the characteristics of revival. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Let's go, sir.
Number 6, under Zerubbabel.
Under number 6, this is number 6, under Zerubbabel.
Hezekiah and Zechariah prophesied to the people. And the people returned back to their God.
Now, the purpose of revival is to bring God's people back to his original intent. You got that?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's what Apostle was talking about.
Yes, sir.
Who need to be revived? Not the sinner.
That's right.
Remember, revival talks about increasing levels of death. Uh-huh. Less of you and more of him.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, sir.
For 7 days they celebrated. With joy. The festival of unleavened bread. Revival had come. Number 7. Under Nehemiah's time. The people fasted and repented.
And
y'all don't like the first word, nor the second one. Definitely not the first one, because we like to eat. Amen. And so this modern day generation knows very little about fasting. In times past, we thought fasting moved God. But fasting doesn't move God. Fasting puts you in a position to receive from God.
Ah, yes, sir.
The purpose of fasting is to cause your flesh to be put under so your spirit can arise through your soul. When your flesh is weak, your mind ain't thinking much. Okay. Fasting and repentance in Nehemiah's time. 360. That's what repentance means. Make a complete turnabout. Go the other way. Go ahead, sir.
The people fasted and repented. For what they had done.
For what they had done.
Yes, sir.
Oh, y'all don't want to talk. Church people are always in somebody else's Kool-Aid. When a sister or brother's not at church, oh, I wish they'd have been here to hear that. No, God's talking to you.
Oh, come on and tell the truth.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
The choir sang and they offered great sacrifices. It was heard all over the land. Revival had come. Yes, sir.
Also in the book.
Reviving revival. It summarizes nine outstanding characteristics of these major Old Testament revivals. Number one. It occurred in a day of deep moral darkness.
Revival occurred in a day of deep moral darkness.
And national depression.
If ever there was a day that we're in deep moral darkness, it is that day. That's why God had to allow Apostle to go into the message of grace.
Yes, sir.
You know, I know as a Kojic child, I'll never forget some things, but one scripture, see, Kojic taught you scripture.
Yes,
says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared unto all men. Now watch this now. Teaching us. So grace is a teacher.
Yes, sir.
Grace is a what? teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should live righteously and godly in this present world. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Amen. So you can see that grace empowers us to live the way God wants us to live. But I think one of the problems with the church is we've been too law-based. Yeah. So people don't grow up. Right. It's one thing to make a to have rules not to sin. Thank you for your enthusiasm. But it's another thing for you to not want to sin.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Maturity is when you come to the place, I don't want to do that no more.
Right. Yes,
not the law on the book,
yeah. Come on,
but the law written in my mind and in my heart.
Yes, sir. Come
on. Okay.
Amen.
Go ahead, sir.
It begins in the heart of one consecrated.
It begins in the heart of one consecrated servant.
Of God,
who became the energizing power
behind the revival.
You notice that God ain't looking for no committee.
Mm-hmm.
Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr. is a revival all by himself. And so those who get properly connected will be beneficiaries of the apostolic call and the apostolic anointing and the apostolic grace that's in and upon his life. But it's going to cost you. This is a marriage. You don't try to get it and run off with it. It's till death do us part. You must be like Elisha and Elijah. Elisha told Elijah, as long as the Lord your God liveth, I'm not leaving you.
Yeah.
That's not prevalent in today's generation.
Right.
We want the good stuff.
Yeah.
But we don't want the training and the impartation and the correction and the reproof. Okay, go ahead.
God uses that vessel to quicken and lead the nation. Back to faith. And in obedience to him.
That's what a true revivalist does. That's why revivalist is apostolic in nature. So catching the waves of revival is to impart unto us an apostolic anointing. Go ahead, sir.
Number three.
Each revival rested on the word of God.
And most were a result of preaching. And proclaiming God's law. And prophecy with power.
See, look, this modern day generation, you know, we got the internet, Twitter, all that advertising is fine. But can I talk to you? Jesus didn't have that.
That's right. Come on now.
That's right.
Tell the truth.
The Bible says multitudes followed him because they saw the miracles that he performed on the people present.
Yeah.
Come on now.
And you might want to tuck John 2:11 under your belt. Every miracle that Jesus did was his Father working through him. But it was also an opportunity for Jesus to manifest the glory that was upon it.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Y'all will catch it later. Go ahead, sir.
Number four. All resulted in a return to the true worship.
All revivals results in the true worship
of Jehovah.
The true worship. God is a spirit.
Yes, sir.
St. John 4:24. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Go ahead, sir.
Number five. Each witnessed the destruction of high places.
Each revival witnesses the destruction of high places.
Idols and false religions. And gods.
There's only one true and living God.
Yes, sir.
And that one true and living God lives in us.
Yes, sir.
And it is up to us to cause all of those other ones to bow down.
All right.
Go ahead, sir.
Number six. In each revival. It was a recorded separation from sin. Complete cleansing.
It was a complete cleansing.
Holiness and purity.
Holiness and purity. Oh, y'all thought Apostle and I talked before class tonight, huh? Go ahead.
Number 7.
Read that again.
Number 6, in each revival.
In each revival.
There was a recorded separation from sin.
There was a recorded separation from sin.
Complete cleansing.
Complete cleansing.
Holiness and purity.
Holiness and purity. Now, none of that can take place, but watch this, without preaching up under an apostolic anointing. The Bible says on the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up to preach, the coward, the one who denied Jesus 3 times, Jesus said, before the cock crow twice, you're going to deny me thrice. Peter said, Lord, I die for you and die with you. Jesus said, you ain't ready yet. Y'all don't want to talk. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
But after the day of Pentecost, when the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead,
yes, sir,
the same Holy Spirit that anointed him when he came up out of the water,
yes, sir,
the same Holy Spirit that was upon him when he was conceived in his mother's womb.
Yes, sir.
When you preach under that anointing, yes, conviction of sin is always present.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
Yes. Go ahead, sir. And because in Acts 2, it said when he preached, they were pricked in their hearts. And they say, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? Thank you for your enthusiasm. Go ahead, sir.
Number seven.
In every revival.
They exalted in the sacrifice of blood.
It exalted in the sacrifice of what? Blood. Because without blood, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. See, the blood doesn't cover sin, folk. The blood washes it completely away. We in the church must come to the realization that we're not sin conscious. But it's hard not to be sin conscious when the law is preached at you. The strength of the law, the Bible says, is sin. Reverse that. The strength of sin is the law. Oh, y'all will catch that later. Because you couldn't keep it. And it made you rebel. Okay. So only grace can empower you to keep that which was spiritual. The law was spiritual, but you had natural folk trying to keep it. Are you listening? Grace didn't do away with the law. The law was spiritual. Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law. I'm grace. I came to fulfill it. Thank you for your enthusiasm. So it's not until you learn how to live and function in grace that you could fulfill the law. Go ahead, sir.
Number eight.
All recorded revivals.
Shows a restoration of great joy and gladness.
God wants to bring you back to the place when you first met him. He wants to restore unto you the joy of your salvation. Because when you travel on the road for a long time, you can become bored and complacent and lose your joy because you're not living victoriously in the now zone. Go ahead.
Number nine. Each revival was followed by a period of great national prosperity.
Each revival was followed by a period of great national prosperity. Don't leave the money out. All these churches and these spiritual gurus out here, listen, in this revival that's apostolic in nature and prophetic in nature, the money is flowing. Notice I didn't say will. Is. See? Because there's a massive receiving anointing that's been released upon us. Go ahead, sir.
Revival means to renew.
To reawaken.
To reinvigorate.
To reinvigorate.
To restore the church to wholeness.
And
joy in the Holy Spirit.
And joy in the Holy Spirit.
Revival is God revealing himself.
Revival is God revealing himself
to men in awesome holiness.
To men in awesome holiness
and irresistible power.
And irresistible power. Holiness is not a bad word, folks.
Right. That's right.
Follow peace with all men. Holiness without, no man shall see the Lord. What is holiness? Mm-hmm. Just get connected.
Yeah.
And when that grace get deep in you, you'll walk in holiness. Because holiness brings you to the point where you don't want to. Go ahead, sir.
True revival.
Are marked by powerful.
And often widespread outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Widespread outpourings of the Holy Ghost. Come on, chapter 2. Characteristics of revival. See, technology.
Chapter 2, characteristics of the end time revival.
Yeah, I said that already. Let's go.
Spiritual timing.
The number one characteristic of end time revival is spiritual timing.
Acts 2 and 1. God's time is precise.
God's timing is precise.
In every outpouring. Timing is described as kairos. A specific and an appointed time.
Notice this phrase, in God.
Go ahead. God moves on time and spiritual timing. Is the key to spiritual harvest. Number two, it takes spiritual preparation.
God cannot move.
Unless man hath prepared themselves. In accordance to what?
Now, y'all know when it comes to spiritual timing, God does nothing before he wants to do it. The Bible say in Ecclesiastes 3:1, one of y'all get it? To everything. Not some things. Come on, read it. One of y'all, first one, get it. You stay where you are. They need to see this. Hurry up. You're taking too long. You don't have a Bible? Go to the index. Ecclesiastes 3:1. Read.
To everything there is a season.
And a time for every purpose under heaven. To everything, not some things. To everything, there's a what? A season. And a what? And a time for what? For every purpose under heaven. Spiritual timing is important. Are you listening? The Bible says concerning Jesus, and when the fullness of time had come. See, that's the appointed time. He couldn't come. God has appointed time to get you in a place where you're supposed to be. He'll call Caesar Augustus to implement a tax to get you from Nazareth to Bethlehem, the house of God. Are you listening? The house of God, and Jesus was the bread of life. You listening? Okay, go ahead, sir.
The fire came from heaven.
After the prophet Elijah.
Had built the altar according to God's word. The rain came after Noah. Had built the ark. And according to God's word.
Now let me show you where timing comes into that, because it's important for you to understand this. God doesn't change his mind about the apostolic instructions he gives you. So you could. I wonder if any of you would have made the boat in Noah's day. 120 years. I wonder what year you would have quit. In this generation, probably be 4 months. Lord, I quit.
Right.
I don't see nothing. There ain't no rain coming from nowhere. I don't know what you even talking about. ain't never saw water. I'm just showing you. See, you got to stay faithful to what God told you. Because at the appointed time, the rain gonna fall. Go ahead, sir.
The apostles prepared themselves
before the day of Pentecost
according to prophetic revelation.
See, even the apostles couldn't go do nothing. Jesus trained those men for 3 years and told them, look, I sent you out in my name, but you can't go out there unclothed. You got to go out there with some power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Witness is not talking about passing out a tract. See, that's what y'all, I don't know what y'all witnessing. Witnessing, and that talks about being a martyr. I'm willing to lay down my life for this message. Most of y'all talking about you won't die for him. What's about live for him? But you can't live till you die. Whosoever loses life gonna save it. Whosoever save his life gonna lose it. So which one are you doing? Go ahead.
They prepared themselves individually
and corporately.
Before the revival broke forth.
So individual preparation is important. Then we come together, we must have corporate cooperation. Hardest thing to get done in the church is unity. Because you always got Sister Big Mouth and Mr. Big Stuff. They can't follow apostolic instruction. Some people think because they have a little bit more education than you, it qualifies them to lead you. But Paul say, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Sometimes you have so much knowledge, you stink. Because you think you are superior. White folks do it, and black folks too. Are you listening? You need a good dose of humility. You know, some people up north think they better than the people from the south. Light-skinned blacks think they more superior than the dark ones. I wish somebody act like I'm living in the real world here. But you see, you can't deal with the church along these things. The most racist people are in the church. And the power of racism is money. That's why we have to have money to break it even in the church. Okay, go ahead.
In Acts 1 and 14,
they prepared themselves
in prayer
with one accord in unity
and they established a leadership structure
among themselves
according to God's divine purpose.
Okay, this can I make it plain? Yeah. Peter became the chief apostle. That's why he was in there and he stood up. There was a chief apostle to the Jews, Peter, and a chief apostle to the Gentiles, Paul. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Never forget, you got to have leadership. And a leadership is not a committee. It was Moses, it was Joshua, it was Samuel, it was Abraham, David. Are you listening? Not a committee. So your vote don't count. Go ahead.
Human responsibility
is essential to revival.
They is the key word. And it clearly defines a corporate responsibility. In response before the revival came. Number three, spiritual outbursts.
Though the apostles were expecting the revival yet.
They were still taken by surprise.
God can tell you what he's going to do, but he still surprises you when he bursts out on you. Go ahead.
So suddenly. Powerfully.
God intervened.
In the spiritual destiny of his church.
That's why you never have to be concerned about the church. Jesus said, based upon this revelation, that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. Notice the article T-H-E. I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, upon this rock of revelation, upon this rock of revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That goes back to heaven and earth government. We shouldn't be down here worried about the devil. The devil's power cannot stop against a prevailing church. Okay, go ahead, sir.
It happened so quickly and suddenly that the people were caught unaware. The sudden divine shock.
Tactic
is to remind men of their vulnerability, before an awesome God. The effect of the sudden working of the Holy Spirit. Is very striking. In the conviction of the sinners. In the awakening of the saints.
Twofold. Conviction of the sinner and awakening of the saints. Go ahead.
Number four,
spiritual liberty.
The Holy Spirit who fell from heaven
had full liberty
to move and to direct
the people as he chose.
He was allowed to move in any direction.
And his spontaneous work
spread so quickly
from one person to another. It seeks to fulfill God's eternal purpose.
By gathering spiritual momentum
in the hearts of those who obey. Spiritual momentum. See, we're in a place now of divine spiritual momentum. You cannot prevail against a locomotive. You just got to get the hell up on out the way. Go ahead. Revival follows God's divine agenda.
By gathering spiritual momentum.
Divine momentum.
Will take you through the curve of the enemy.
It don't matter what he come against you with. It don't matter the adversity. It don't matter the challenge. You know why a person get in a wreck when they are going so fast in that curve coming up there, huh? It's not that they don't turn the wheel. It's the momentum of the car that takes them through the curve. Oh, y'all didn't catch it. I'm trying to show you, when you get spiritual momentum, divine spiritual momentum, the curve of the enemy is not curvy enough to stop you. You run right on through it. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Go ahead.
Number five,
spiritual presence.
In every revival,
the manifested presence of God
pricks and convicts
the hearts of men.
God is honored and held in holy respect.
God consciousness
fills the hearts of men,
creates an awareness of sin.
God becomes visibly
and audibly present
among his people.
Manifestation of true revival brings
an overwhelming sense of God's presence
that brings conviction of sin.
Number two, salvation to unregenerated man.
Number three, it transforms lives.
Number six, spiritual vessels.
Acts 2 and 4.
This is one of the characteristics of true revival.
God takes over ordinary human lives
to do extraordinary works within their communities.
Of men.
God needs prepared vessels
who can anoint with his who he can anoint with his power
to help fulfill his purpose on,
to help fulfill his purpose on the earth.
God's strategy is to prepare that man.
God's strategy is to prepare that man
to affect the world.
To affect the world. That's why God chooses ordinary people.
Yeah.
He wants you to see their imperfections, inadequacies, and weaknesses, so you can see everything that's being done is really God.
God, that's right. Amen.
Go ahead.
Number seven, spiritual manifestation.
Number seven, spiritual manifestation.
The Holy Spirit will begin.
The Holy Spirit will begin.
To allow the manifestation of his gifts.
To allow the manifestation of his gifts.
To allow the power to break forth in our lives.
To allow the power to break forth in our lives.
The power of the Spirit.
The power of the Spirit.
Is made manifest.
Is made manifested.
In any revival and healings.
In any revival and healings.
Signs and wonders.
Signs. And wonder. You don't need no card for that.
Yeah.
And can I just be real with you?
Yeah.
Huh? All this apostles, all these titles. What good is a label with no contents?
Right.
Never forget what I'm about to tell you. The label does not always define the contents.
Right.
Okay, now some of y'all, okay, what that mean? You can have a mayo jar. Mine is. Down here in this neck of the woods, blue plate. Mm-hmm. It's one of the most popular ones. Y'all might have some other ones out there. I'm just talking about what mama bought.
Yeah.
But in my day as a little boy, when things were rough and sugar was needed in the house, mama might give you a blue plate jar, say, go to your neighbor.
Right.
You listening?
Yes,
you come back with a jar of sugar that had blue plate mayonnaise on it.
Right.
So the label doesn't really define the contents.
That's right. Come on.
But the contents can always define the label.
Yeah.
Okay, you'll catch that. What does that mean? Calling yourself an apostle, going to www.becomingapostle.com is not how you get the apostolic call. That comes from the head of the church. Okay, I woke up one morning in my whole city. Everybody in the city was an apostle but me. And they got cards and billboards and everything. Where's the proof? In the book of the Revelation, the apostle John wrote to one of the churches and say, and there were some who called themselves apostles among you. Watch this now. And you tried them. You proved them and found out they were not. That's what we need. Go ahead, sir.
Number eight.
And make sure you're watching that clock back there. Okay, thank you.
Spiritual impact.
Because, you know, I don't want apostle knocking me out. Thank you for your enthusiasm. See, I'm a man under authority. And you ain't nobody that anointed. I'm anointed to follow that clock. Go ahead.
Number eight, spiritual impact. There's no true revival.
There's no true revival.
If there's no visible manifestation.
If there's no visible manifestation.
In society.
There's no spiritual impact. Huh? Where's the beef?
Right.
Where's the power? Talk to me up in here. Where's the power? Where's the power? The church talk power. Where is it? The church talk money. Where is it?
Right. All right.
This is real.
Tell the truth. Come on now.
See? By signs, by wonders. See, God have calling cards.
Yeah.
Supernatural demonstrations of power is what the church needs.
Yes,
where people fall under the power from miles away.
Yes.
This generation haven't seen it because they don't want to pay no price.
Come on.
There's no fasting. There's no praying. It's too much. I mean, church too long. I mean, you know, we DVR everything. But when it comes to church, everybody's a clock watcher. Every time somebody, when I'm ministering the word and somebody looking at their watch, I'm looking right at them. I say, y'all never do it. The Green Mile was a 3-hour movie. Nobody walked out saying it's taking too long.
Nobody.
Come on.
Nobody.
Y'all want to talk? The Black Panther. What?
Oh. 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 Oh.
Yeah, everybody went to see that. Yeah, Rokanda, Deanda, Ba-ba-ba-ba-shanda. You know, nobody walked out the movie. But in the church, oh, we taking too long. That's why there's no power. Go ahead, sir.
It results in spiritual growth.
It results in spiritual growth.
Numerical growth.
Numerical growth.
Material growth.
Material growth.
Growth in relationships.
Growth in relationships.
A great spiritual harvest of souls.
A great spiritual harvest of souls.
Is seen in true revival.
Is seen in true revival.
Acts 2:41.
Now, well, you don't have to, we'll just go through. You know, when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 were at it. Yeah. Then another time preaching, 5,000 were at it. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
The Bible talks about when the apostles made a decision that they won't stick with the word and put other people over the daily administrations. Mm-hmm. The Bible said the word of God grew and the number of disciples were multiplied. Are you listening? All of that happens on the true apostolic ministry. One of the true signs of an apostle is they can gather men.
Yes,
men want to follow them.
Yes, sir.
Y'all don't want
to
talk.
Yes, sir.
Now, somebody going to get mad. Okay. Jesus chose 12 men to be apostles. I didn't read about apostolicis. We always try to make a woman have the same weight in scripture as men. And we use the scripture, in Christ there's neither male nor female. Children, you got to follow the apostolic pattern.
Yes,
I don't think that a man of God ought to be up under no conviction to do something that the master didn't do. And there were multitudes of women that followed Jesus, yet he didn't choose one. Okay. Then I had a question about he chose other 70 also. Thank you for your enthusiasm. It doesn't list their names. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say if they were male or female. You ever had those kind of questions? But then the Lord said to me, I took of Moses' spirit and I put it upon 70 elders. And there were no women amongst them. But you know, in the church today, we don't want government. Nobody wants to submit. And oftentimes females act like this is, you know, some woman's movement or something. We will never minimize a woman's role in the church. They are extremely important. Are you listening? But you cannot take on a gift that God didn't anoint you for. It's a calling. And where there's a calling, there's evidence.
Yes, sir.
There's proof.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I can go deeper, but I'm going to let you chew on that. Go ahead.
In Acts 6 and 7.
In Acts 6 and 7.
In true revival.
In true revival.
The word of God increases.
The word of God increases.
And the number of disciples.
And the number of disciples are multiplied. Okay, go on to chapter 3, children.